Please note that the information and advice provided via the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed or substituted for professional medical advice, counselling, or any other type of therapy or professional advice. I do not provide specific medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And if you have any concerns about a medical condition, please consult with your GP or other qualified healthcare provider. Please do not disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something you've heard whilst listening to this podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Rada.
And I'm Giles.
And we're your trusted guides for the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast. The podcast that helps you remember, relearn, rediscover and be inspired by others about what might help you feel good on this journey that we call life.
And we're starting right now on our journey to discover those things you forgot were good for you and inspire you to remember them. So without further ado, let's talk about this week's theme.
Now, we have a very special guest on the podcast this week, and it is none other than Tim Litchfield. Tim is a magician and entertainer. He's a member of the Magic Circle, and he's also a hypnotherapist and radio presenter. And we are delighted to have him here because he's a member of the Magic Circle. He does events, weddings, corporate parties, private parties and trade shows, and generally just comes and sprinkles a lot of magic wherever he goes. So we are delighted to have him on the podcast. Welcome, Tim.
Tim Litchfield, it's lovely to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for being with us, and we really appreciate your time. I know you're very busy, we really appreciate it. Now, I know that you've been a student of magic, and I'm sure that's a continuing study, and that's been something that's been in your life for quite a number of years. But if I can sort of ask you quite a sort of open question, to you, what is magic?
Good question. Firstly, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
So what is magic? For me, it's wonder. It's that sense of joy, that kind of not really understanding what's just happened. So, and for me, that's something that I try and always get across. Because for me, the first bug that I had to experience magic was that kind of, wait, what's just happened there? What is that? And that sense of joy, that sense of wonderment is something that I still hold on to even as an adult. Never grown up, really. just that sense of joy and wonder, I think.
We're glad you haven't grown up because Giles and I haven't either. So that's making company. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think as humans, we, especially in society now, in modern day society, it's almost like we want to know everything. We want to know how everything works. We want to find out everything, and we want to find all the answers to everything. And I suppose that's been the way of humans forever, really. It's kind of constantly discovering and evolving. And yet also, I think we don't want to know everything as well, because that's also slightly boring. And then where would our curiosity kind of come from, and where would that lie? So it's a little bit of a balance, I think, between the two, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, even, as you know, I've got a big library behind me. That's only half of it. And there's still, as a magician, you always want to know the secrets. You always want to know what's happening. But then the other side of that, for me anyway, personally, is if there's an effect or a magic trick that I see, sometimes I don't want to know how it's done, because it takes away that element, that surprise element, that joy, that wonder that I was speaking of previously. And I think as human beings, we do have that thing of we have to know what's going on. But then we also have to sometimes just step back and go, let's just enjoy this. Let's enjoy this moment.
Yeah,
because that's quite rare in today's society. You know, there's not many opportunities where we get to actually enjoy something and not know how something is working, you know.
That is true. I think it does tie into the aspect, I think, of like every Christmas of me still wanting to slightly believe that Father Christmas exists and that he's flying around delivering presents to everyone, even though clearly I know he's not. There is a little part of me thinks, what? Oh, do you know what? Oh, sorry. Sorry. That was,
what do you mean?
A warning on the podcast description now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. To our younger listeners, Father's talking rubbish.
Do you think magic is logical, or do you think it's based in imagination? Because I can see a bit of both. I can see how there is some kind of logic to magic in terms of structure and thinking and order and process, and there has to be some logic to it. But I think when I think about the word magic, I just think of something that's very ethereal, something that's not tangible, and something that is very much based in our imagination. But I'm assuming, obviously, as a magician, you have to be logical and there is a structure to it.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of both. So I think the logic side of it is definitely there and it's accessible, but I feel the more imagination that's used, the better. Because let's be honest, there's the magical effects that you often see, especially on TV, are things that shouldn't happen. So that is magic, you know, the magical part of that, the element of that, is something that can't happen. Where as a logical side of it, that's when it becomes a puzzle, I think, or a trick. So I try not to use the word magic trick a lot, because the word trick for me is that puzzle element. What are you tricking me about? What is it that you're trying to trick me with? Whereas an effect is more of a kind of imagination and that feeling. Again, that I'll use this word a lot, that feeling of wonder and joy, is that, can this actually be possible? Is this something that can actually happen in real life? And if you get across that it's completely illogical, then that for me is the effect. That's what you're trying to get across. And that's what I try and aim to do with everything that I do.
Yeah, it's probably better to call it like a magical happening.
Happening, yeah, that's a great word for it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because trick is just a puzzle, or you're trying to con me in some way.
Exactly, you're deceiving that person.
Deceiving, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So going back, Tim, when did you first get into magic? What was the? Was it when you were a young child, or was it later on? Was it watching magic on TV? What was your journey?
A bit of all of that, really. So was about 7 years old. It's the classic. If you ask any magician, when did you first get into magic? It's always, I was about 7 years old, and I got a magical kit, or I got a magic book, or blah blah blah. I've still got the first magic book. Can I grab it for you?
Yeah, please do.
The first magical book I got was this. Paul Daniels.
Wow. Oh, there he goes. Paul Daniels. You can't go wrong.
The Magic Showcase. So my uncle got me this at the age of 7. Of course, I saw Paul Daniels on TV at that point. but then to get an actual, the secrets of what was going on, this for me really spurned that on. So then I continued obviously watching different magical shows on TV, learned about the likes of American magicians such as David Copperfield, Penn and Teller then came into existence, Simon Drake, who I still think is fabulous. He did a show called The Secret Cabaret. So I used to watch in my early teens, I used to watch this late night Channel 4 grotesque magic stuff that was going on called The Secret Cabaret. So it just carried on then. And then it's always been a part of me. It's always been something that I've just continued to explore and wanting to know more and delve more and more deeper into it. And then I kind of stopped for a couple of years during my teen years, as you know, just teenagers do. But then it just, the bug just drew me back and I just had to get into it. And then I've always done it as a hobby. I've always done it as a hobby and an obsession, I think, basically. So I started collecting lots of magical effects, magical books, magical DVDs, videos, anything I could get my hands on and learn about, going to magic conventions, all these kind of strange things that magicians do. And then professionally, I didn't start until about 8 years ago, because my background is radio and TV. That's what I've always done since the age of 14, 15. And then, so it's always just been a back thing, like kind of, oh, Tim, show us a magic trick. And it was one of those kind of things. And then my wife thought, all the magic stuff that I had. And she said, in a nice way, she said, either do something with this magic stuff or we'll get rid of it. And I was like, how?
I've had those conversations before with my wife.
What? That's called a different style of coaching, I think.
Yeah. So it was that push that I needed. And so I've been doing it professionally now for like eight, nine years, I think. And just love it. And I'm still obsessed by it. Any opportunity that I have to watch it, learn it, read into it, study it, I've always got a deck of cards next to me, always, just constantly, just playing. There's a deck of cards in every room, I think, in the house. So I'm spreading my wonder. It actually is an obsession, not just for me, for a lot of magicians. It is that kind of, what's next? What's the next thing? How's that done? What's that secret? And so, yeah, it just becomes a part of you, really.
Mm. And obviously, I mean, magic is an art. It's you know, huge elements of performance there within that. And we were chatting to someone else on our series, actually, who's a clown. And we were talking to her about the different styles of clowning and the different types of clown. Are there different styles and categories of magic? Because you mentioned there about grotesque magic, which I've never heard that term before. So are there different styles of magic?
Oh, so many. Yeah, absolutely. And just touching on the art thing, there's one of the biggest arguments in the magical world is it art or is it just magic? It's a funny old thing. I personally think you can make anything art. So I think if you, and there are magicians who make it quite arty, even your big illusionist. So yeah, but moving on. Yeah, there's so many different categories magic. So you have your close-up, I suppose, parlor magic or cabaret magic is more of a bigger stage. Then you have your stage magic, so you have your illusions. But then within those, there's subcategories. So you have coin magic within close-up, card magic within close-up. Then you have like your stage illusions, which again have different subcategories, like appearances, disappearances, levitation, that type of stuff. But then you have other categories, so things like mentalism, as it's known in the UK, or mind reading is another phrase for it. But yeah, there's just it's just ever expanding. People try and create new categories, but they'll always go back to the basics of these 6, 7, 8, or 9.
And I'm assuming with anything that involves a sense of wonder or a sense of, a sense of mastery, really, and skill and learning and practicing. And there is always an element of, I want to find out how that's been done. And I'm assuming that's also between magicians themselves. So sometimes, you know, you hear about people trying to get the answer or trying to understand how someone else is doing something so they can copy it or kind of, you know, find out the secrets. And I suppose those magic books that you had when you were younger was all about finding out how things were done. So is there within the magic community kind of sharing information, or is everyone quite closed off to what they're doing? How does that all work?
There's two types. So you get, and unfortunately, there are a lot of magicians who are very arrogant. They're not humble, and they are know-it-alls, where they won't admit if they don't know how something is done. And unfortunately, they're the ones with the bad reputation for the magical world. But then you do have the more humble ones who are willing to share certain things. But of course, the basic rule of magic is never to reveal the secrets, right? Mm. But as magicians, you do have that inside knowledge and different avenues that you can find out how things are done. And the amount of magic effects and tricks that are out there is astonishing. If you ever explore the magical world, this is why I say it becomes an obsession, because the magician always wants to know the next thing. What is the next thing? What's coming out next? What can we learn next? And a lot of them, to be honest with you, are just classics of magic, which have been twisted a little bit. And then they've created their own thing and they release these things. And people are willing to pay ridiculous amounts of money for things that they could find in one of these classic books that I have behind me. But again, it's the time aspect. So people don't want to spend that, especially in today's society, people don't want to spend their time studying or looking into things or looking into the history of things. People want to know now what's new, what's the newest thing. And everybody has, there's a joke as well within the magic world that everybody has a magic drawer or drawers in my case, which is just full of stuff, which you've bought and go, oh, is that it? And you throw it away and go, I'll never use that. But then that's the mindset of us, where we have to kind of, you have to take something that you think, I'll never use that, and go, how would I use that? Rather than getting rid, you have to use that mindset of going, okay, how about if I did this instead? Mm-hmm. Then that would work for me. But a lot of people will see the instructions or get that prop, for example, and just go, I'll never use that. That's awful. So there's always secrets to find out. And we are always looking for the next thing. But I say this a lot. There are certain magical experiences that I've seen or watched or read about. And then sometimes you don't want to actually know what the secret is. Because when, and this is the truth, genuinely, like if I'm doing a wedding, for example, and someone goes, will you show me how that's done? I will say to them, I'm not allowed to, but secondly, I won't, because you'll be disappointed. Mm. And that even for a magician, that's the truth. When you find out how something is done, the method behind the magic, a lot of it, you just go, oh, is that it?
Yeah.
And it's that high. So you get this whole anticipation of, well, how do you do it? How do you do it? Oh, okay. And you drop back down. This is almost a disappointment. It's a funny world. Yeah. Being a magician is a funny world to be in.
No, I can definitely relate to that from when I first started doing TV and filming and seeing how things were made in television. I was just like, is that what happens? Is that how long it takes to film like 1 minute of television that comes out?
Crazy, right?
And after a while, then
lots of sitting around. It's very boring,
and then
isn't it?
When you actually, you know, my mum will not watch TV with me anymore, because I will sit there and literally go and dissect to her how it's all working, and she's just like, "Be quiet, you're spoiling it for me." So
yeah,
I can definitely relate to that a lot. Actually, you sometimes don't want to know, and sometimes you shouldn't know, frankly, because like absolutely. I say, you always want a little bit of wonder, and I always think it's great, actually, as human beings, not to know everything. I don't think we really want to know everything anyway.
I agree. Yeah, totally agree.
Now, on a practical sort of thing, how much kind of practice do you do every week? Is it, and I guess there's a perseverance there or as well with regards, if you're kind of creating a new illusion or a new trick, or a new happening, we should say happening. A new happening. Do you spend a lot of time practicing?
Constantly. Constantly, but it's not a conscious effort, if that makes sense. So like I say, I've always got a deck of cards in my hand or near to me, so I'm always fiddling, doing stuff, whether it's a very simple move or technique within an effect. It's not always cards, of course, but when you get something new or something that you want to work on, yes, of course you have to put that more effort in. But yeah, I will practice every day, even without thinking about it. Like, genuinely, like sometimes I'm doing something going, oh yeah, I've nailed that now, that's good. But it's weird, because, and Dr. Rada, you'll know this as well, the conscious mind is pretty frustrating at times. So anything that you learn initially, because my background is also hypnotherapy, so this is quite relevant to that. Anything that you learn, a skill, a meaning, an understanding, anything you try and almost force yourself to learn initially, it becomes frustrating, because you're like, well, I'll never be able to do this. It's, you know, whether it's a card move or learning a new language or something, you get frustrated and you're like, I'll never be able to do this. But then suddenly the unconscious, as people refer to it, suddenly just takes over and just become second nature. And this happens with everything, whether it's learning to drive, whether it's learning a card skill, whether it's learning a new magic happening, then, you know, you do have that different level. So what I find is I will slow down everything that I do on a conscious level to begin with, then leave it literally for a day or two, come back to it, look at the nuances and just think, what am I doing wrong here? Why isn't this working in the way that it should work in my mind? Then leave it again and then come back to it just ad hoc. And eventually it just clicks into place. And I think this is very important for a lot of people, because it's so easy just to give up and just to say, I'll never be able to do this. Or in fact, we've all got the ability and capabilities to do so. and just allow just the unconscious to take over, really.
I think that's so true, isn't it? Like you say, I was thinking about, not so exciting, but I was thinking about when I used to revise for exams, and there was a point where you first started off kind of learning, you know, what you were supposed to know, and it was quite exciting, quite interesting. And there'd be a point later on where you just feel totally overwhelmed and you couldn't see, you couldn't even see what on earth was going on. And then if you were lucky, right, the night before your exam, suddenly everything would kind of fall into place and you'd be like, oh, wow. Yeah. And I can see the whole picture now, because you kind of get so much into the detail that it gets overwhelming. You go through those different phases. But I think that's also why, you know, why we need sleep, and why we need, you know, when you talk to athletes or anyone doing anything mindfully in that moment, like they often say, don't they, that something else just kind of takes over and they're not really even thinking about it. And it seems to me that's kind of what you're describing in a similar way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's the old phrase of 10,000 flight miles or whatever. That's not the phrase, but you know what I mean. So you do like 10,000 hours, right? Then suddenly it just becomes second nature, which is why, you know, you could hear a song from the 80s that you may have heard in the background, but suddenly for some reason you know the lyrics.
Yeah,
you don't know why. You've never sat there and read Smash Hits and read them, do you know what I mean? But it becomes a thing. It's just, and you know, I think our minds and our brains are very, very extremely clever things. And yes, sleep is very important for soaking in that information as well, definitely.
What I'm interested in, kind of different people's attitudes to magic. Do you think that adults have a sort of slightly more fearful or cynical attitude to magic than children, or do you come across people who are actually just really frightened of magic and they don't want to go near it, or do they think it's just silly? Like what kind of attitudes have you come across in terms of magic?
So many different ones. So I don't think they're scared of magic as such. If anything, they're scared of magicians. And I don't mean they think, oh, they're going to put a curse on me. I think...
I'll steal my watch.
yeah, you get all the classic lines of, don't steal my watch. but make my wife disappear. Yeah, whatever, mate.
Yeah.
but when I say they're scared of magicians, it's because they've probably met those magicians who, unfortunately, have this... I'm better than you attitude. And it shouldn't be like that. I mean, magic is entertainment at the end of the day, right? So for me, when I'm performing, I want them to enjoy it as much as I enjoy performing it. And I want them to focus on that entertainment side of it. So it will never be, I'm better than you, look what I can do and you can't. I want them to be interacting with everything that I do. So if something happens, the be all and end all of whatever the effect is, whatever that conclusion is of that magic effect, whether it's a card appearing somewhere or, you know, whether it is their watch disappearing, whatever it is, I want to put across that energy of, wait, what? What's just happened? And that in turn allows psychology, you know, psychologically, it allows them to go, wait, what? What's just, I don't understand this. But then, of course, you're always going to get the alphas, not always males, to be fair. You know, you always get that person arms crossed, like, don't like magic. And they just won't warm to it. It's as simple as. And you can try and try. And for me, sometimes I enjoy those people because I don't put my effort down, but I feel like, okay, well, I'm not going to do magic. Then we'll just have fun. And that's the element that I see in my mind. And then eventually you see them beginning just to unfold and just go, oh, actually, this is quite fun. Because probably their experience of a magician is Uncle Charlie. Do you know what I mean? So to see something which is in front of their face and to get involved with that makes them open up a little bit more and go, oh, actually, this isn't as cheesy or as corny as I assumed it would be. But yeah, you get all sorts of different reactions to magic. 9 times out of 10, they're great, but you're always going to get the one. You know, I've been told, and this is a podcast, so you can edit this, but I've been told in several occasions, oh, F off, we don't like magicians. But I won't, it's not that I won't interact with that, but I'm just like, okay, that's absolutely fine. It's not a problem. And it doesn't bother me in that way, where some people go, no, I'm going to show you a trick. Yeah. And they will force
you. You will see this trick.
You will like magic.
Honestly, and like, don't do that. Just walk away.
It's probably just walk away. It's probably very disarming in a positive way, actually, for a lot of adults, because I think we do get the message as adults, you know, when we're growing up, okay, you have to be serious, you have to like know everything, you have to always be in control of everything, you have to have the answers for everything. And magic is, like you say, that kind of remembrance of wonder and of joy, and it kind of, I suppose, allows, when you see people on TV who are there with a magician, their faces and their reactions, you kind of tap in, you get rid of a lot of those obstacles, I think, a lot of those layers fall away, and you start to see the kind of emotional reactions, you know, that would remind you of a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old or someone who's completely just disarmed in terms of being themselves, I suppose, rather than being who they think they should be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the other character that you'll always get at every event, every gig, you'll always get the either I've seen this one or I know how you've done that, because they it's almost like they don't want to be at a lower level, even though I never put that across, like I was mentioning before, the aggressive magician or the know-it-all magician. It's almost like they don't want to be that person who feels that, like you say, as an adult, they don't want to feel less knowledgeable than you. I've done it so many times where I'll just bring out a pack of cards and they will say, I've seen this one. And there's hundreds
that's
of
a
thousands
lot.
Of cards.
That's a lot I've they've seen.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done nothing. I've brought out a pack of cards and they go, I've seen this one. But have you? It's a funny old world. Honestly, it really is.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about performing. I mean, obviously, like that's a big part of what you do. How do you find performing? Do you have to prepare yourself for that? Are you a nervous performer?
I love it.
How do you deal with performing?
I love it. I absolutely love it, and not in a masochistic way. I love it because I've always, since a very young age, I've always been quite outgoing, yet shy in a weird way. But then doing radio and TV, you kind of have to have that energy anyway. And I was very shy in my teen years, but then as I started to get older and older, it's not caring, but it's almost like a kind of, hey, look, if this person doesn't like me, there's nothing really I can do about that. And that's the kind of mindset I have. And again, when I'm doing events, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a corporate event, whether it's I've just been hired to do that one event for everybody, there's always that element of I've got to go over there and interrupt whatever it is they're talking about. But I've always been the smiley, kind of friendly, approachable person. So I put that across when I go across. And at first, yeah, don't get me wrong. When I first started doing it professionally, I was like, oh, they're not going to enjoy this at all. The fact that I'm interrupting them. But the more you do it, the more they're kind of, you warm and you can read their body language. Mm. And without being detrimental in any way, shape or form, I've found it's the older generation, I'm talking over 60s, 70s, they're the ones who are arms crossed. I'm not interested, mate. That kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. I just let them be. I'm just like, yeah, no, do you know what? You've had your life. the last thing you want to see is another card trick. That's fine. And it's the 20s, the 30s who really get into it. And then the other side is that you get the children who will follow you around. Saying, and putting their hands in your pocket, going, I've seen you do that before, and you're just like, and they're frustrating, but you know, they're part of the deal. That's part of it. But the performance side of it, I love it. I love doing it, and I love getting a challenge. I love it if somebody says, or they think they know how something is done, and then I'll floor them with something else because I've got that toolbox, because I've done it for so many years and studied for so many years. I've got a toolbox. I haven't got, it's not scripted. I know what the beginning, the middle and the end is of each effect, but I know I can also take it somewhere else if I need to. If somebody's saying, oh, I saw you put that in your pocket, I can go, well, it's not in there. Have a look. And I enjoy that challenge for myself, because then that keeps me on my toes. Otherwise, it becomes routine and just like, nah, pick a card. Is that your card? And it's just boring then. So I like that kind of just going off on a whim. I enjoy that.
So just chatting to you, I mean, it strikes me that you must be a very fun person to live with, but potentially also,
wife would agree, but yeah.
I mean, again, not to use the word tricks, but do you play little magic? Do magical happenings happen around you at home and to your friends and family? And are you notorious person who turns up to a party and everyone's like, oh, what's he going to do tonight? What's he going to get up to?
No. So again, because of my I've still got that shyness in me, believe it or not. So, and it's weird when somebody says, if they know what I do, and they say, oh, do some magic for me. I tend to shy away from that. And I just go, not tonight. Because I don't want to be the performing monkey for a start. Yeah. And also when you're performing, it's a different attitude that you have in your mind of I'm here to entertain. Whereas if I'm with friends and family, I just want to enjoy their company. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes
absolutely.
Complete
yeah, yeah.
sense. It's a bit like if, you know, all the people who I know who are hairdressers, they don't want to tell people they're a hairdresser because everyone will be like, can you cut my hair?
Yeah, can you cut my hair? Yeah. It's like bringing your
you turn up
around and going, can you fix that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when you turn up to a party and someone knows you play the guitar and they get it out for you.
Oh, yeah, don't start. Get the acoustic out.
Oh, do you play it? Yeah, and they start asking you for quick requests. I've been in that moment a lot of times. It's horrible. Horrible.
I've got to go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that time already. Now, a few years ago, I watched The Prestige, which was a fantastic film.
Great film.
And learned how trick works, as in the kind of rules of a trick, which you have the pledge, the turn, and the prestige, mm-hmm. which is obviously the kind of punchline, I suppose, in some if you're going to relate it to comedy. Yeah. For those listening who don't know anything about those things, what do those three things mean when you're doing a trick?
They are very, I think they're more Hollywood terms. Really.
Okay.
But no, it's still saying that it's still going on the same level, I suppose. So there are different elements and different stages to magic. So what were they again? The pledge?
The pledge, the turn.
And the prestige.
And the prestige.
Yeah, okay. So the pledge is the meaning. What is the effect? What is the overall effect? Take away all the method, take away all the technicalities. What is it? What are you trying to put across? Whether it is Dynamo putting a bottle inside a mobile phone inside a glass bottle,
yep.
Whether it is find the card after it's been lost into a deck. What's the effect? What is it that you're trying to get across? So that is still obviously a big, big thing. The turn is more the mythology of how it's kind of working and how you get from A to B in the hopefully the shortest time possible, but also making sure that it's interesting within that. So yes, absolutely. So that's more the technicality of things like misdirection and timing and obviously the technical side of it as well. And then yes, the prestige is obviously the effect of the outcome. So what it is that the people see at the very end. But all of those things are still very important. So there's always there's a three beat to magic where and people like Jeff McBride who have these schools of magic in the deserts of Vegas and stuff, they talk about this a lot. Eugene Berger, who's sadly not with us anymore, understood these rules, and it's that whole kind of thing of how am I going to get from here to here in a beat of three. So whether it could be like the phrase the feint, which is you, if it's a coin effect, for example, you would take a coin and you would pretend to put it in your hand to show them what is going to happen in a second. But then the second time you do it, you actually do the method and the technical side of it to make that happen where it's not there anymore. So it's going from there to there. And these are still very, very important aspects of every magic trick. If you really boil it down, it's really important to get from the starting point to the end point, but with something in between in the middle that makes the magic happen, that puts the magic across, that wonderment again, that sense of how's that happened? Because I saw you had it in your hand, but now it's not in your hand. But how, what happened in the middle? And that's still very important, I think, in today's wonder and putting that across.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about magic in the general sense of the word, because life is pretty magical, isn't it? You know, we can't, you know, no one's written a book, I don't think, as yet, about kind of understanding everything in life, which would be great to get if we can get one of those books as well.
Hitchhiker's Guide, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. but for you, what brings you a sense of wonderment and joy in life?
Wow. Okay. That's a good question. For me, it is, and this, the real brief term is being happy. Because I think we put too much pressure on ourselves as human beings. We put too much pressure on ourselves that we always have to be the best at everything we do. And the thing is we're going to fail. It doesn't matter what you do in life. You will fail at some point, several times, perhaps. But you have to be able to understand yourself enough to go, that's okay. That's not a problem. And I think that's really important for anybody who's listening or anybody who perhaps is feeling a little bit kind of deflated at the moment, perhaps, because it's a funny world that we're living in at the moment. And it will always be it doesn't matter what decade you take or what part of history you take, there's always going to be that element of, things aren't going to plan, and that's always going to happen. But you have to kind of accept that. So for me, the wife and I, we just do random things. Like I say, we've never grown up, so we do do as many experiences as possible in life. Enjoy family time, enjoy friend time. Don't worry about what other people are doing. I think is very, very important. Social media is an evil in itself. We're all on it, and we all look at it and go, how's that person doing that? Why is that person so successful? Why is that person on a private jet? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Just enjoy what you enjoy in life, I think, is very important, and be happy. Whatever that happiness is, or whatever it is you need to make you happy, you can do it. And there are so many people who I speak to who are just, whether it's they've just broken up with somebody or whether it's they don't know what they want to do as a career and they're doing a mundane job every single day just because they have to, because they have to pay the bills. I will say, you know what, there's more out there. So do what you want to do. We've got one life, you know, and just enjoy it. And I think especially with what happened with COVID, et cetera, if there's one thing we should have been taught is just to enjoy every single moment, know who you can trust, and just love life, I think. That sounds really deep, doesn't it?
It's deep, and yet it's simple, isn't it? And often the simplest things are the ones which actually
life shouldn't
resonate.
Be complicated. It really shouldn't be complicated, but we make it complicated. Us as a individual, we make it complicated because we're always trying to find the answer. And I think there is an answer. I think everybody's got their own answer, and we don't have to do what everybody else is doing.
I think that's beautiful.
Well, that beautifully sort of that beautifully kind of sums up what you do is magic. You know, actually the wonderment in the trick is not knowing the answer, is not knowing how it's done.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to sort of use that in life a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. Because, and again, going back to what Dr. Riley, you said earlier, we'll never know everything. We just won't. It's as simple as that. So enjoy what you know. And if you want to learn something new, you can. It's fine. You can do that. But keep that sense of wonder as well. I think that's really important. Don't try and learn something just because you want to know how something's done. Only learn it if you actually want to pursue that, or if you want to continue with whatever it is that you're going to learn. Don't just learn it and go, yeah, okay, I know how that's done now. What's the point?
Yeah, and enjoy not knowing. I really enjoy not knowing things.
Yeah.
I really enjoy saying, do you know what?
So much I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I haven't got a clue. And you know what? That's amazing.
be humble about that, though. I mean, I don't know how a car... I know that a car, I turn the key and it works. I don't know how to change the light bulbs. I don't know how to change the oil. Honestly, I know none of it, but I'm just like, I don't want to know. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not interested.
Yeah. There is something very nice about
also,
that.
I don't want oil on my hands.
Yeah. It's very freeing not to have to know everything. It's such a relief, isn't it? Yeah. And I think I think in life we put so much pressure, like you say, on ourselves to know everything and to feel in control of everything. And actually sometimes it's really nice when life is just kind of taken out of your hands, which most of the time it is, but we just don't know that. So.
Yeah, I think more and more now because, you know, because again, going back to social media, it's got a lot of positives, of course it does, but it also has a lot of negatives in the fact that people are living false lives and to become an influencer, as they're called nowadays, it almost becomes a go-to for children and teenagers. They want to be that next person. So, you know, they're seeing what other people are doing and then they're just kind of trying to jump on board with that. And then we get more depressed and more anxious in today's society because you're not getting the likes or you're not getting the shares. You shouldn't live your life like that. I think it's quite sad, really.
Yeah, and we get more lost as well in terms of who we actually are. We get very lost and then we're like, oh, who am I actually?
Who am I?
How did this happen?
Yeah,
have to retrace our steps backwards. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Oh, I don't think you've frozen.
Rhonda. Oh, now I'm back.
Oh, wait. Well, Tim, it's been such a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry if I sometimes I just spurt on about nothing.
Oh, I've loved it.
No,
loved
no, not
chat.
At all. No,
I've
no.
So much.
No, it's been fantastic. We could talk to you for hours. And I am really, really into magic. I like you, Ryder. I'm quite happy not to know how things work, just to actually watch and think, wow, that was amazing. It's just nice to be able to watch a magic happening, because that's what I'm going to call it. and not be too intrigued by how it all works, the mechanics of it, but actually just enjoy the moment that, you know, and believe in magic in that way. So yeah, so thank you for what you do.
Thank you. No, honestly, it's, you know, I love performing, like I said earlier, and for me, I do. Every magician gets this. You're always going to get the person who says, "Oh, I saw that on YouTube. I saw how that was revealed on The Masked Magician, or I saw how that was done on Penn and Teller, or whatever it is." And I always say to them, "Just enjoy it. Just be part of that. Just enjoy it. It doesn't matter how it's done. Just enjoy that moment, because there's rare opportunities in this life that you're going to enjoy that, just that, even if it's a split second of that pure just enjoyment." And I think that's really important, because it's so easy just to focus on negatives, not just in magic, but in everything in life. It's so easy just to go, "That didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work." But what did work were your highlights of your life, and they're the bits that you have to remember. And again, that's probably a deep thing to talk about, is that your card, but what I'm saying is just enjoy that slight moment where you didn't know what was happening, but you enjoyed it at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. Thank Absolutely. You so much, Tim. Honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I love magic, and you've inspired me to go and kind of dig out some of my old books now. And I won't try and understand it. I'll just still not be able to do it, but I'll love it anyway. Thank you so much. Keep being amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So that's the end of another Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's inspired you to go looking for all of the things that might help you feel a little bit better.
And hopefully we've inspired you to go looking for our podcast. You can find it on all good podcast platforms, probably some of the bad ones as well. You can also find us on social media. Our handle is Radha.
Yes, Giles, absolutely. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Forgot Podcast. So go and find us there. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.